I'm pretty sure if this were a Bible class and I asked these two questions to the class expecting a response, I'm almost positive how you would answer the first question. Is Christianity unique? I think most people would say, yeah, it's unique. The second question would be interesting to hear the answer, to hear the response there, because there's really, even though I'm going to answer it in the way I'm comfortable answering it, my answer is not the only way to answer the question and deal with the subject. It would be interesting to see how you would answer that second question. If you're talking to a coworker, if you're talking to a friend, and this subject comes up and you say, Christianity is unique, and then they ask you, why? Why? What's your response? What are you going to say? By Christianity, and we need to define our terms here, I'm talking about a worldview that is based upon the person and the teaching of Jesus Christ. And by worldview, I mean a way of looking at everything that takes place in my life. The way I live my life, the way I look at life, the way I deal with other people, the way that I look at what's going on in my nation and in the world. That's what I mean by Christianity. That I am governed by, and I think most of us here are governed by, Jesus Christ. That's sort of the prism that we filter things through. That's right. And by unique, obviously, only one of its kind, unlike anything else. Now, I think you understand that in our current society, for you to say something like this, if you were in a break room at work and the subject came up and you said, I'm a Christian. I believe that Christianity is the only worldview that there is that makes any sense at all. Christianity is unique. It's special. It is the best. More than likely, somebody would say, no, no, no. You're a bigot. You're a xenophobe. You'd be called every kind of disparaging term in the world. Because in our society that's governed by the silly political correctness and equally silly multiculturalism, which says that there is nothing special about any worldview. There's nothing special about any culture. You cannot say that one culture, that one worldview is it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And Christianity is that worldview. There are things about it which make it very special and very unique. I'm going to begin a two-part series with you today, which will give you what I believe to be is the best evidence for saying that Christianity is unique, that it is special, that it is beyond any other worldview that is in existence. There is no religion in the world that even begins to compare with Christianity and the worldview based upon it. And I want to start with Deuteronomy 4. Now, We'll be dealing with this passage in more detail in 2 weeks. But I want to start with this particular study here in Deuteronomy 4. Here you have Moses giving the people the law the second time. That's what Deuteronomy is all about. The law being given the second time. And he's rehearsing with them so many, many things as he's about to leave them. He'll die in the last chapter. And he asks them here 2 questions. For what great nation is there that has a God so near as the Lord our God whenever we call on Him? Now these are rhetorical questions. The answers are inherent in the question. There is no nation that has a God like the Jewish people had. And then the second question. Or, what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? What was it that made the Jewish nation unique? They had a big G God, not a lowercase g God. The God of the Jewish nation at the time that Moses said these things was unique. There was not another God. As they went into the land of Canaan, they were going to be faced with multiple gods. And Moses is reminding the people here, this nation is unique. It's special. It's above all other nations because no other nation has as great a God as this God. But then there's the second thing. The Jewish nation was not only back then, the Jewish nation was not only a unique nation because there was no God like their God. But it was a special nation. It was a unique nation because no other nation had the statutes and judgments and law like the Jewish people had. Whenever I answer a question, I like to have a biblical basis for the answer. And that's why I'm comfortable saying that this, to me, is the best answer to the question, is Christianity unique? Yes. It is special. There is nothing else like it. Because we have a unique person. That's Jesus Christ. And we have a unique book. That's the Bible. Just as the Jews had a God like no other God, and they had a law like no other law, we today have a worldview that is based upon a person who is unique in human history. No individual ever lived like Jesus Christ. And we have a unique book, the Bible. There is no book ever been written, no book ever will be written that is like the Bible. And we're going to be taking a look this morning, as Glenn said, at the unique person, Jesus Christ. Matthew said, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 33, Jesus had cast out a demon, and after the demon was cast out, the mute man, the man who couldn't speak, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. Jesus did things in the 3.5 years of His ministry on this earth that had never, ever been done. Not only in Israel and in their history, but in the history of the planet. Jesus did things that were unique. Nobody has ever since done the things that Jesus did. And in John 7 and in verse 4, the Sanhedrin had, the synagogue had sent for Jesus. Bring him to us, the rulers of the synagogue said, in the Sanhedrin. And they went to fetch him, and they couldn't. And when they were asked why, the officers said, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." At the time that Jesus lived on the face of the earth, nobody had ever done what Jesus did, and nobody had ever spoken the way that Jesus spoke. What is it specifically? What are some specific things about Jesus that causes us to say He's unique, He's special, He's one of a kind? And when you base your worldview, the way you approach life, the way that you look at life, the way you live life, when you base it upon Jesus Christ, you're basing it upon a person and His teachings that are without equal in human history. And regardless of what current society tries to tell you, they're just as wrong as they can be. Jesus Christ is unique, and therefore Christianity is above every other system, every other worldview, every other religion, because of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at some reasons why we say that. Now, here's where I'm going to make an explanation. I had a PowerPoint presentation made up for this, and between a computer glitch on my computer and a computer glitch back there, I couldn't download it. And so I had to put this thing together. In fact, this is it. What you just saw is a PowerPoint presentation. So, it's to the iPad. Okay. And I'll be working off of that. What is it that makes Jesus Christ unique? Well, first of all, and this is not what made Him unique, but first of all, we have to establish the fact, and by the way, the points that I'm covering this morning, and next Sunday we'll be talking about why the Bible is unique. The points, the specific points that we're covering this morning, each one of these points could be turned into a quarter's study. You could spend an entire quarter of Bible study on each one of these points. And so what I'm going to be doing over the next 25 minutes or so is just really quickly going through these things. And maybe at some point in the future we can go through these things in more detail and get more specific. But first of all, I want to establish that Jesus Christ actually lived. This came up in a Bible class 2 or 3 weeks ago. Amanda had raised this. She wasn't questioning it. She made a valid point about that we need, and she's right, that we need to establish that Jesus Christ actually lived. You, I think, would probably be surprised at the people you would run into in the religious world and in society in general who would deny that Jesus Christ was an actual historical character. A debate that I had many years ago with an atheist, the first time that I'd run into it, and he based his whole approach, his whole worldview, was based upon the fact that Jesus Christ never existed. He was a fairy tale. He was like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. He never lived. And what you may have to do at some point is make that point and present evidence for the fact that Jesus Christ actually lived. What is the evidence that Jesus Christ actually lived? My first four pieces of evidence are very obvious, because the first four pieces of evidence are Matthew, what? Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of those men wrote historical narratives about a man named Jesus Christ that lived on this earth about 2,000 years ago. They treated him as if he were an actual historical character. Nothing that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said would lead you to conclude that they had decided to get together, the four of them, and construct a mythological character. They treated everything he said and everything he did as having actually occurred. When you examine the documentary evidence for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to give them, and those in the legal field will tell you this, you assume that a document is genuine and real, and what it purports to be, it really is, until and unless you can present evidence to the contrary. And so when you tell somebody Jesus was an actual historical character because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they say, well, you can't depend upon those people, you just put the ball back on their side of the court. Prove it. Give us the evidence that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, any one of those four, much less all of them together, made this thing up. Prove it. The burden of proof is upon them. You can present a ton of evidence. And we'll get into a little bit of this next week when we talk about why the Bible is the Word of God and why it's special. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the first line of defense, first line of evidence that Jesus Christ actually lived. But tell people, okay, if you don't like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then put the Bible aside. Put it aside. Let's go to some sources away from the Bible. Do you know, and this is something that is verifiable, that if the whole New Testament especially were to disappear, from extra-biblical sources, you could reconstruct it from the writings of men. It's been quoted that much. Now, let me just give you, and here's where I've had a slide on this. I'll just have to read it to you. There are Roman sources. Romans of the 1st and 2nd century who talked about a man named Jesus Christ, Cornelius Tacitus, a Roman historian, talked about the public career of Jesus. He talked about Pontius Pilate being the governor when Christ was crucified. He talked about the fact that Christ was crucified as a criminal, that all of this occurred in Judea, and that the movement that was set ablaze by Jesus Christ had gone all the way to Rome. This was an unbeliever. But he was an historian. And he spoke the truth. He talked about Jesus. Pliny the Younger is another Roman that spoke about Jesus. a man by the name of Suetonius. Pliny, by the way, was a governor of Bithynia. He was a political officer. He wasn't writing a defense of Jesus. He was just mentioning in passing that he had lived. Suetonius wrote about the lives of the Caesars, and he mentions Jesus Christ. That's the Romans. But there are sources that are Greek. And the Greeks at the time were the learned. They were the astute of the first and second century. Justin Martyr, Lucian, who was a Greek historian. And all of these people were unbelievers. And they all mentioned Jesus Christ. There were Jewish sources. And the Jews are the ones who put Jesus to death. Paramount among them was Josephus. Let me read just a little snippet from Josephus. Now there was about, and he was a Pharisee, by the way. Josephus was a Pharisee. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, the Jews, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. Josephus talks about his life, his death, his resurrection, and his appearances. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8. That's the gospel. Jesus didn't live, then why did Josephus talk about it? Why did he mention those things? There was a man named Mara Bar Serapion. He was a Syrian. He wrote about Jesus. And a man by the name of Phallus, who was a Samaritan, who wrote about Jesus. These quotes are available to you if you want them. Do you know who Will Durant was? He was about 97 when he died. He and his wife, Ariel, composed an 11-volume work called The History of Civilization. And Will Durant and Ariel were not Christians. Here's what Will Durant had to say at the conclusion of all of his research concerning Jesus Christ and what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded. That a few simple men should in one generation have invented so powerful and appealing a personality, so lofty an ethic, and so inspiring a vision of human brotherhood would be a miracle far more incredible than any recorded in the Gospels. That's an unbeliever talking. After two centuries of higher criticism, the outlines of the life, character, and teaching of Christ remain reasonably clear and constitute the most fascinating feature of the history of Western man. That's an unbeliever. Those were his conclusions after 7 decades of researching world history. You don't make this sort of thing up. So Jesus actually lived. And when you go through the details that we don't have time to go into this morning, these quotations from these men, secular and inspired, we could stop there and rest our case. But we keep going. Jesus was unique because he had a life, he pre-existed his life on earth. Name one other historical character that can be said about. Jesus had an existence prior to his coming to the earth. This is where John chapter 1 comes in. Rob read a moment ago. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh. So this Word that became flesh had an existence before He took upon human flesh. But then there's another couple of passages, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, that intrigued me. Back in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and verse 16, a rehearsal of Jewish history here. Here's what has taken place in your history. And verse 16 of Numbers 20 says, "And when we cried unto Jehovah," and he's talking about their crying to Jehovah when they were in Egyptian captivity. "And when we cried unto Jehovah, He heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh," and so forth. Well, I read that and you think, he sent an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt. Of course, that was Moses. Think so? Moses was certainly involved in this. Let me read to you a divine commentary on this. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea." This is coming out of Egypt. The same event that's spoken of in Numbers 20 and verse 16. "They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. I'm not talking about the manna. They were talking about spiritual food, that which enable them to be the kind of people that they were. "They all ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank..." Now listen closely. "For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." When you go through the Old Testament, you're going to find a phrase that is repeated quite frequently. It's the phrase, "the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord." In almost every instance, that angel of the Lord is deity. That angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Jesus' work did not begin when He took upon flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus was active at the beginning. Colossians 1 tells us all things are created by Him and through Him, for Him. Here we find out that He was the spiritual rock that accompanied the Jews when they left Egypt headed toward Canaan. That rock, Paul said, was Christ. Name me one other historical character, man or woman, that existed prior to their being born of a woman. Name me one. They were active in the affairs of a nation before they were born. You wonder why we say Jesus is unique? Jesus was unique because His life was foretold ahead of time. That can be said not only of Jesus. There are a few people in the Old Testament whose life was foretold ahead of time. Josiah, King Josiah, was foretold ahead of time. John the Baptist Alexander the Great and Cyrus, among perhaps others, were foretold ahead of time. Jesus is paramount among them. Jesus, from time to time, would cite something from the Old Testament and say, I am here in fulfillment of it. Luke 4, verse 20. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture, and he's quoting from Isaiah, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am the fulfillment of what I just read. And Luke 24, verse 25, he said to them, this was after his resurrection, he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. Those are the Old Testament Scriptures. And Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Name me other people who could do that. We mentioned a few. But Jesus is unique because of other things. And Him pointing to prophecy and saying, I am the fulfillment of these things. Jesus is unique because of the claims that He made. Now, if you've been in the Bible class on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, this will not be new to you. We've talked about this. We're studying the Gospel of John. And one of the things that we looked at, I think it was in the last class before we had this two-week kind of break from the class, the statements that Jesus made when He said, I am. The I am claims, the I am statements of Jesus in the book of John are classic. And they put Jesus in a category and in a class all by Himself. One of them is John 8, verse 58. Whenever Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am, do you know what He was doing? He was referencing Exodus chapter 3, where God told Moses, when you go down to Egypt, you tell people down there that I am sent you. I am is the base for the word Jehovah. Jesus was Jehovah in the flesh. And He went on to say, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And on and on and on Jesus went. Nobody would make those kinds of claims, would make those kinds of assertions, unless they were crazy or the most dishonest people who ever lived on the face of the earth. Nobody. This makes Jesus unique. And I'm out of time. And I'm going to have to pick this up at some other point. We'll talk next week somewhat about the rest of this material, but then we will discuss why it is that the Bible is unique. And we'll probably run out of time there. There is that much material on both of these subjects. You have no reason in the world to be ashamed or afraid of standing up to anybody and saying, Christianity is the only worldview. That's it. Because the evidence for Jesus Christ being unique and the evidence for the Bible being unique is overwhelming. And it cannot be gainsaid, cannot be denied. Jesus Christ is unique, and because of that, every Sunday morning at this time, we come to a point in our assembly where we remember the uniqueness of Jesus and His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His appearances. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 8. Name me one other historical figure who died in order to save people from their sins and actually accomplished it. You can't. Jesus is unique in that regard. And because of that, we partake of these emblems which represent His body and His blood. And we'll sing a song at this time to prepare us for engaging in that activity.